going to do something a little bit different because it's Christmas Eve. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some crowd participation tonight, okay? So I'm going to be teaching the message, but we're going to have a couple segments in between. The kids are even going to be helping out in just a few minutes. They're going to help me tonight. But we're going to start by having a little crowd participation. Turn to somebody next to you and share something that you love about Christmas. One thing you love about Christmas. Go ahead. Anything that you love about Christmas. Tell somebody sitting next to you. Well, Christmas is such a great time of year. I'm sure there's many things that we all love about Christmas. One of my favorite things is Christmas movies. Anybody in here like Christmas movies? And of all of the Christmas movies that we watch during this time of year, my favorite is The Grinch. Do we have any Grinch fans in here tonight? Yeah, some of these guys, Grinch fans. We watch The Grinch every year. It's a tradition for us. Usually while we're decorating our family Christmas tree, we have The Grinch playing in the background that night. And of course, you know, if you know the story about this grumpy green guy, all the Whos down in Whoville like Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not, right? And so the Grinch decides he's going to ruin Christmas for all of the Whos, and he's going to steal their presents, and he's going to steal their decorations, he's going to steal all the food, and he's going to ruin Christmas for all of the Whos. But what happens? The Whos get up Christmas morning, they all get around the tree and hold hands, and they sing their little song, Da Whoo Do Rest, right? You know the song. And Christmas comes anyway, and the Grinch realizes there's something more to the Christmas season. In fact, this is what Dr. Seuss writes. He says, and the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Well, thank you, Grinch, for reminding us that Christmas has a little bit deeper meaning than our culture makes it out to be sometimes. How many of you know that Christmas is more than just a break from work? Christmas is more than just vacation from school. Christmas is more than just a bump for the nation's economy. All of those things are nice, but Christmas has a much deeper meaning, and that's what we want to reflect on tonight. We're going to be looking at some scriptures. We're going to be talking about the Christmas story, and we want to celebrate the meaning of Christmas. So here's the first point. Christmas is a day of wonder. Everybody say wonder. Wonder. That's kind of been our theme for our whole Advent series. We've been talking about worship. We've been talking about wonder. You know, there's something almost magical about the Christmas season, isn't there? The lights and the decorations and the creativity and the brightness of it. I mean, you really have to use your imagination at Christmas time. You have to really use your imagination to get that perfect gift for that someone. You really have to think and use your imagination to plan the perfect Christmas party. And that's what Christmas does. It gets us to embrace wonder. It gets us dreaming. It gets us using our imaginations. Christmas brings out the kid in all of us. Come on, how many of you adults would admit Christmas brings out the kid in you? How about you kids? Are you guys excited for Christmas? You guys ready to open some Christmas presents to get home tonight? Open some presents and tomorrow? I tell you what, I think about when I was a kid, and do you remember how exciting it was to wake up on Christmas morning and to run down and open your presents? We opened most of our presents in my family on Christmas Eve, but we always saved at least one really big present for Christmas Day. And growing up, out of all the Christmases, the present that I remember the most clearest in my mind was the year I got my first brand new bike. When I was 10 years old, I was in the fifth grade. Now, I'm the third of four boys, so up until that point, I was used to hand-me-downs, okay? And if you got older siblings, you had the hand-me-down stuff. And so I was used to getting the hand-me-down beat-up bikes that my brothers had trashed. But this year, when I was 10 years old, my parents got me my first brand new bike, a Western Flyer from Kmart. And I'm telling you, you would have thought they bought me a Porsche, baby. I was excited. I remember waking up that morning and running into my parents' bedroom and opening their door, and there was my bike all put together. My dad had put it together, and I'm pretty sure if I remember right, the heavens opened and a light shined on the bike, and I heard a choir of angels singing, and I got on my bike and rode it like right out of the house and just rode my bike like all day long. It was awesome. It was great. But Christmas brings out the kid in us. Christmas is a season that causes us to dream. It's a season when our imaginations come alive. And the truth is because God is a big God who has a big imagination. Only God could dream up something like Christmas. He created us with this capacity to wonder. You know, when I think about wonder, I think about the Virgin Mary. I think about when the angel Gabriel appeared to her to tell her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, to the Messiah, to the one who would save his people. And listen to Mary's response to the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 38. It'll be on the screen. This is what Mary said to Gabriel. "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" That's a really good question, isn't it? Verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. "And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month." Listen to verse 37. "For no word from God will ever fail." In some translations it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Now listen to Mary's response to this news that the angel gave her. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Wow. What amazing capacity Mary had to wonder. I mean, how many of you know that it takes a big imagination to conceive what this angel had said to her? It takes a big imagination to believe that as a virgin she could give birth to the Son of God, to believe everything that the angel said to her that night. And you know, I think another word for wonder in the Bible is worship. It's worship. When we wonder at God, when we think about all the things that God has done for us, all of his goodness, his presence in our lives, the way he's provided for us. And you know, the Christmas story, it's filled with worship. If you think about it, in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth and she bursts forth into song. It's what we call Mary's Magnificat, and she worships. The Christmas angels appear to the shepherds praising God. Glory to God on the highest, right? And on earth peace. The shepherds respond in worship. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. The magi, the wise men, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says they fell to the ground and worshiped the child Jesus. See, Christmas is a time to be filled with wonder. It's a time to have our minds and our hearts and our imaginations overwhelmed by what God can do for us. Christmas is a time for us to dream again. It's a time for us to open our hearts to all that God wants to do and also to reflect on all that God has done for us and just pause and worship and thank him for it. One of my favorite pastors, Mark Batterson, says this: it's our capacity for wonder that determines the size of our soul. So let me ask you this question tonight on Christmas Eve. What has God done for you that inspires you to worship? As you think about God's goodness, as you think about his presence in your life, as you think about his blessings over the past year, does that inspire you to worship? What has he done in your life that causes you to worship? What God-given dreams are in your heart that maybe you need to dust off and reclaim this time of year and wonder and open your heart and your mind to all that God has for you and your family? How is your capacity to wonder on this Christmas Eve? Well, speaking of wonder and worship, our kids are going to come, and they're actually going to lead us in worship tonight because they have a very special song for us that they've been working on. So kids, come on up here. Let's give it up for our kids as they come. They've been working hard. And they're really going to illustrate. Well, Christmas is a day of wonder and worship. Thank you, kids, for reminding us of that. But Christmas is also a day of giving. It's a day of generosity, right? It's a time when we give each other presents, and everybody loves gifts at Christmas. We never outgrow presents. I know these kids are excited about getting presents for Christmas, but I'm sure there's many adults in here who are excited about some of the gifts you're getting for this Christmas season. I recently heard an interesting story about a little boy who wrote to Jesus and asked for a new bike. Would you guys like to hear the story tonight? It's pretty funny. I'll read it to you. It says, Christmas was coming soon, and Sammy asked his mom if he could have a new bike. So she told him that the best idea would be to write to Santa Claus. But Sammy, having just played a vital role in the school nativity play, said he would prefer to write to the baby Jesus instead. Sammy went to his room and wrote, Dear Jesus, I have been a very good boy and would like to have a bike for Christmas. But he wasn't very happy when he read it over, so he decided to try again, and this time he wrote, Dear Jesus, I'm a good boy most of the time and would like a bike for Christmas. Well, he read it back and wasn't happy with that one either. He tried a third version. Dear Jesus, I could be a good boy if I tried hard and especially if I had a new bike. He read that one too, but he still wasn't satisfied. So he decided to go out for a walk while he thought about a better approach. After a short time, he passed a house with a small statue of the Virgin Mary in the front garden. He crept up, he crept in, stuffed the statue under his coat, hurried home, and hid it under his bed. Then he wrote this letter: "Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, you'd better send me a new bike." Isn't that a good one? But you know, on Christmas, we celebrate by giving. We celebrate by giving presents to each other because it's a time when we celebrate the greatest gift that the world has ever received, the gift of God's Son, the gift of Jesus. John 3:16, the most famous scripture in all of the Bible, a verse that we see hanging in football stadiums when NFL teams play, says, "For God so loved the world," what? That he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Message version puts it this way: real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. You see, God's gift to us on Christmas is the gift of his Son. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus didn't just come so we could have nice little cute, cozy and fuzzy nativity scenes and see this little baby in the manger and we could have presents and all these fun things. All of those things are nice, but that baby in the manger grew up to be the Savior of the world. That baby came because we needed a Savior, because there's something about us that's broken. There's something about us that needs fixing, and Jesus came to save us. That's what Christmas is all about. Now think about this. Christmas is the only birthday that we celebrate by giving other people gifts, maybe even buying presents for ourselves. Isn't that kind of funny? Think about it. Can you imagine going to somebody's birthday party and celebrating their birthday, and everybody gives each other gifts except the person whose birthday it is? Like, "Happy birthday, Jesus. I bought myself this new sweater. Do you like it?" And so my question for you tonight is, what can we give to Jesus? What can we give to God on Christmas? What could we possibly give to the Son of God, to the guy who has everything? And it sounds maybe a bit cliche tonight, but I really believe that the best gift that we can give to God on Christmas is the gift of ourselves. I think Christmas is a time that we should stop and ask ourselves, what area of my life, what areas of my life could I more fully give back to God? Could I more fully yield to Christ? How could I possibly give more? How could I pray more, love more, forgive someone, and be more dedicated this year? How can I serve God by serving someone else? How can I be God's gift to somebody else? What are the needs around me? Who needs God's love? Who can I step up and be there for? Come on, how many of you know there are needs all around us? There are people all around us. And I believe that Christmas is a reminder that God is sending us to people. And the way that we give ourselves back to God, one of the ways we do that is we give ourselves in service to others, to people who are around us. And so tonight, I think it's time for us to just pause for a moment in our hearts and say, God, how can I give myself more fully to you? We have a new year that's just around the corner. God, how can I give myself back to you? How can I honor you more? How can I be a better father, a better mother, a better wife, a better husband, a better family member? How can I do more for others? That's how we give back to God. Now tonight, we're going to do something very practical. We're going to receive our Christmas offering at this time. I want the ushers to prepare to come because we have an opportunity to put the message into action right now. So last week, we received a special Christmas offering. If you weren't here this past Sunday, you have an opportunity to give tonight. We have three very wonderful projects, very worthy causes, charities, and ministries that we're giving to. We picked out three things: one that's local, one that's national, and one that's global. So our local project is the wonderful Carver Center here in Port Chester that does so much work to serve underserved folks in our community. And particularly, we want to help them in their food pantry. They're trying to purchase a van that's going to take food to shut-ins and to elderly folks who can't get out, who are in need of that food. So that's our local project. Then our national project is church planting through the network of churches that we belong to called Reach Northeast, which is committed to planting and starting new churches all across the Northeast. We believe that the local church is the hope of the world, and people blessed us to help us start a church, and we want to do the same thing. We want to pay it forward and be a blessing to other people so that the gospel can be proclaimed and churches can grow all over the Northeast. And then the third cause is a global cause. We're going to be partnering with Samaritan's Purse, which does wonderful work all over the world. But in particular, they have people on the ground right now who are helping many of the refugees provide relief to this terrible refugee crisis that we see on the news that's happening in Europe. Many people coming from war-torn nations like Syria, and they're there on the ground providing food and shelter and clothes to people in need. And so every cent of this offering is being given away to help bless these three causes. If you're not going to be here Sunday and you want to put your regular tithes and offerings in, that's fine. But unless you specify it on your envelope, this is going to go to our Christmas offering. If you're giving online, I know many of you prefer to give online through our mobile giving. There are two different places you can give. One is regular tithes and offerings. The other is special offering missions. If you want to give to the Christmas offering, put it in special offering and missions. So take a moment to prepare your offering, and let's put the message into practice tonight. Let me bless the offering. Lord, we thank you that you're a giver. God, we thank you that the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that you gave the gift of your Son." And God, you bless us in so many ways that we can never put a price tag on. God, tonight, as we give with joy. We give as an expression that we're blessed and that we're thankful that we get to extend to others what you've given to us. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over this offering. I pray a blessing over every family, every marriage, every home, every giver tonight. God, thank you for their generosity. Bless this offering, we pray, and make us givers, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Christmas is not only a day of wonder, it's not only a day of giving, but Christmas is also a day of miracles. It's a day of miracles. You know, this time of year, my wife watches a lot of Hallmark movies. Any of you ladies in here, fans of Hallmark movies? Do we have any Hallmark movie fans in here? All right, some of you? None of the guys will admit it, I know. That's why I asked the ladies. My wife watches these like 24-hour marathon of Hallmark Christmas movies, you know, and they always have, like, you know, these cheesy plots and cheesy acting. Let me see if I can get the plot just about right. You know, girl comes home from the big city to the small town, bumps into her high school sweetheart, right, and realizes that she's missed everything in life, was right there in her hometown. And then she needs help falling in love with him, and she happens to bump into Santa Claus, who works at the local hardware store, who helps them fall in love, and they all live happily ever after. Did I get it about right? And see, what happens is my wife puts these Hallmark movies on, and I make fun of them the whole time. And then she has enough of it. She gets mad at me, and she changes the channel. And I'm like, "No, wait, put it back on. What are you doing?" And she's like, "All you did was complain and make fun of it the whole time. Why do you want it back on?" I'm like, "I want to see what happens." She gets me sucked into this stuff. Man, and the testosterone level just plummets in my house. But you know, one of the things that these Hallmark movies all have in common is somebody needs a Christmas miracle, right? Somebody is in need of a Christmas miracle, which reminds me that Christmas is a day of miracles. The whole story is miraculous. Let's remember the Christmas story, okay? At the basics, at the heart of it is a virgin who gives birth to the Son of God. Hello? We're talking about something very miraculous here. The whole story is miraculous. Luke chapter 2 records how the angels miraculously appear to the shepherds in the first Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" You see, the nativity story, it's full of miracles. The angels appearing, the star over Bethlehem, the shepherds being able to locate Mary and Joseph. It's all miraculous. It's all this wondrous, beautiful story. But I believe the greatest miracle at Christmas is the miracle of what we call the incarnation. The truth that the church has held on to for 2,000 years, the belief that God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, that God took on flesh and blood and came to us. And see, the miracle that we celebrate at Christmas is that God loves us enough that he showed up here, that God descended down into this mess, into this broken planet, into this planet that's so often filled with darkness and violence and injustice and all the terrible things that we can get just all doomy and gloomy about. Jesus came down and got in the middle of it. And the good news of Christmas is that the angel told Mary that the name of this baby is Emmanuel. He'll be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God with us. God is literally with us. That's the miracle we celebrate at Christmas. But see, the thing is, Christmas isn't just a miracle of the past. It's just not a nice little story that we break out, at this time, and we read about the story, and we look at the miracle of the past. It's a miracle that God still wants to perform in us. God still wants to come to us. God desires to have a relationship with us. God desires to bring healing and wholeness and salvation and love and peace and joy to our lives. And the miracle of Christmas happens every time that we respond to God's love. That's what Christmas is all about. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. Christmas is an ongoing miracle. Christmas is an unfolding miracle. At the heart of this story is a God who comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, full of grace, full of truth. A God who comes to us no matter what our mistakes are, no matter what our past is, no matter what our brokenness is, no matter what our failures are. He comes into our life, into our situation, and he is God with us. As we close the night, we're going to sing one more song in just a moment. The team is going to lead us. But I want to pray for you tonight. As we gather together tonight, we've had a wonderful time of celebrating, of hearing our kids sing, and we're going to eat some Christmas cookies in a moment, and I'm sure many of you are going to leave and go to family celebrations and open some gifts. But I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. Would you just kind of have a moment with me to just reflect on the message? This is your opportunity on this Christmas Eve, before all of the hustle and the bustle and all the things that we're going to do. This is a moment to reflect on God's word and what he's done for us at Christmas. Maybe some of you here tonight, you feel like you could use a miracle. Maybe you're here tonight and I don't know what your life has been like. I don't know what it's been like this past year. I don't know what this holiday season is like for you. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe things have been hard for you in your marriage or in a family relationship or difficult at work. And you're sitting here tonight and you say, Pastor Jeremy, I feel like I could use a miracle in my life. And maybe some of you feel like I could use a sign from God. Have you ever been there before? God, just give me a sign. God, just show me that you're with me, you're in this some kind of way. Show me that you're here. And this is what I want to tell you tonight. Here's the joy of Christmas. Here's the good news of Christmas. God has already given us this wonderful miracle. It's called the miracle of Christmas. It's the miracle of a God who comes to us in flesh and blood. It's the miracle of a God who doesn't say you have to be perfect, you have to have it all together, you have to have your act together to come to me. But no, he's a God who comes to us. Are you with me tonight? It's a really good news. It's a really good story. And the miracle is that God loves us and he receives us and he accepts us for who we are. And his sign to us is this child that we see on Christmas that reminds us that God is with us. God is with us. I want to pray for you. Would you just bow your head for a moment tonight? Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe just bow your head for a moment. This is just a time of reverence, to just be self-aware, to maybe examine our hearts, just to kind of pause for a moment tonight in prayer. And you know, Mary had to respond to the angel Gabriel to give birth to a miracle. She had to respond. She had to participate in what this angel said to her. And I believe the truth is that we have to respond as well to what God wants to do in our lives. And tonight, we've talked about these three different areas of meaning for Christmas. We've talked about how Christmas is a day of wonder and worship. Christmas is a day of giving. Christmas is a day of miracles. And I just wonder if these different aspects of Christmas have some meaning for you. You know, we talked about worship. Maybe for just a moment, you can reflect on, you know, what God has done for you, his blessings, his goodness in your life. It's easy to complain. It's easy to focus on the negative things. It's easy to focus on how everything is bad in the world and all of those things. But maybe we need to pause for a moment to recognize God's goodness, to recognize his blessing in our lives, to give worship for a moment, to have a moment of gratitude. Maybe it's a time to wonder again. Maybe you need to dream again. Maybe you need to look inside of your heart and remember that dream that God gave you and dust it off. Those hopes you had for your family, those hopes you had for your marriage, those hopes you had for what your life would be like. Maybe it's time to wonder again. Maybe for you, we talked about giving and generosity. And maybe the question for you is, how can you give yourself back to God tonight? We said that's really the best response is, Lord, how can we give ourselves back to you? Maybe you just need to take a moment and examine your heart and say, God, what areas of my life do I need to give to you more fully? Maybe there's something I need to let go of. Maybe there's somebody I need to forgive. Maybe I need to be more generous. Maybe I need to set more time for you. Maybe, Lord, I need to be a blessing to somebody else. God, maybe I've had my life is just too focused on me. I've just been too busy, and I need to get more focused on the people around me who matter. My spouse, my kids, my neighbors, my family, the people who are around me. And God, who do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to be your gift to? God, how can I more fully give myself back to you? And then there's that third thing that we talked about. Christmas being a day of miracles. And my question is, how is the miracle unfolding in your life? Have you experienced the miracle of knowing God, of knowing Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about being christened or catechized or Sunday school or any of those things. I'm talking about for yourself saying, yeah, I've received Jesus Christ into my life. I've made the decision to follow him. I'm following Jesus with my life. Because that's what Christmas is about. It's a reminder of a God who comes to you. Maybe some of you just need some hope tonight. You need some hope. You need a sign. You need that miracle. And I want to tell you tonight, God loves you. He's for you. He wants to be with you. He wants to fill your life with his presence, with his goodness, with his peace, with his joy. And that's what the wonder of Christmas is all about. And sometimes we just have to open our hearts. Sometimes the greatest obstacle to us receiving God's presence in our lives is ourselves. And we just have to have a moment of humility where we open our hearts and we surrender our minds and we say, God, I welcome you into my life. I welcome your son into my life. I recognize my need for a Savior. I don't have it all together, God. I'm just an average human being with some mistakes, with some flaws, with a past, with some hang-ups like everybody else. And God, I recognize my need for a Savior. Maybe that's you tonight. I want to pray for you. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing our last song in just a moment. Stand with me. Just remain in a moment of just worship and reverence as we prepare our hearts to pray. And I just want to pray a blessing over you at this moment. And maybe you just want to respond in prayer to one of those things that we talked about tonight. And I want to encourage you to do that. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of Christmas. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for this season in which we see your light. We see your joy. We're filled with peace. We're filled with your goodness. God, we thank you that you're a God who comes to us. And tonight, we want to open our hearts to wonder. We want to open our hearts to worship you, to thank you for all that you've done for us. God, to see the good things that you've done. God, cause us to wonder again and to worship. Lord, tonight, we give ourselves back to you. We thank you for the gift of your son. And today, we give our hearts and our lives back to you as a gift, God. Show us those areas of our lives, God, that we need to more fully yield to you. God, show us how we can be a gift to someone else. And then finally tonight, God, we open our hearts to the miracle that is Christmas, the miracle of your son coming to us. And Father, I pray for every person in this place that the truth of that message would become more real to them. God, I pray for those who maybe are here tonight, they're not quite sure what they believe. Maybe they were invited by a friend or a family member. They came to show support, or they're just here because it's Christmas. God, I pray that if nothing else, they would leave here tonight, God, knowing that you love them, knowing that at the heart of what Christians believe is that you're a God who comes into our lives, no matter where we are. And God, I pray for the person who tonight is at the place of saying, God, I welcome you into my life. That, Lord, we just pray with them the most humble of prayers. God, I recognize my need for a Savior. And God, I invite you into my life. God, thank you for the wonderful sign of your son and that God is truly with us. And for that, we give you thanks tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.